This episode of the A-Team is brought to you by FaceToFaceGames.com, Canada's number one source for Magic the Gathering card singles.
If, like, Magic playing aliens came from another planet and they said, we'll destroy your Earth unless one person plays Jund against us, you just give them Reed Duke. And you just, like, you know, you take, like, you play Reed Duke Jund. Like, that's the guy who's got to go and play that match.
Welcome to the A-Team Podcast, brought to your ears by ManaDeprived.com, home of Canadian Magic.
In 2010, a crack Magic playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI Court for crimes they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team.
KYT.
He looks at me, are you a pro? Not really, I just have a website. Then he goes, is it a pro website?
Jay Boosh.
They're like, holy fuck, we're both over here, man. We both can't be over here, man.
Scotty.
Like, I stared him right in the face. I'm like, I'm only here for the buys. He's like, so you only want the buys? I'm like, once again, I am only here for the buys.
And Jeremy.
As the 18th fourth member, I promise the listeners that I will get that man to talk more. That is my commitment to you.
And now, the A-Team.
Hey, everyone. It's Peter Sackless from Face to Face Games. Welcoming you to episode 141 of the A-Team podcast. KYT is here. Say hello, KYT.
Hey, what's up, Peter?
Nothing, just hanging out, you know, doing Greek stuff. I'm Greek. And, Scotty Mac, how are you?
I'm good, Peter. I'm good.
Excellent. It's been a long time. We haven't seen each other for a couple of weeks. Are you recovering from Driz's party?
Yep. Yeah, recovering fine, yeah.
Good, perfect, yeah, good.
Did you get the message I sent you on Facebook this morning?
No, I have quit Facebook to pursue the religious arts of my people.
The Greeks.
The Greeks, yeah. Yes, you're correct.
Uh-huh.
We have some new guy here. Hello, new guy.
Hi, Peter. Sorry I scummed you out of that Commander game.
Yep, what a piece of shit. Yep, you are... A piece of shit. And then, of course, we have Jay Boosh, the best anti-league player in all of Canada. So, I just wanted to say thanks, guys, for the fun I had in Calgary. And that's it. Bye, facefacegames.com. Bye, Peter.
Bye, Peter.
Man, that was cool that he intro'd for us. Sweet. Thanks, Peter. Thanks, yeah. Face-to-Face Games.
Awesome.
What's happening, everybody?
I actually saw him today, and he was like, why didn't you defend me more when Jay was saying how terrible of a player I was?
Yeah, I emailed him about a Star Wars order, and he's like, you know, I heard the episode. Oh, okay, sweet. Yeah, and I don't think you should say those things. That I'm the worst. I don't think I'm the worst. I day two'd. I'm like, oh, yeah. It's true. I guess you did, yeah. But you had buys. I didn't have any buys. And you couldn't buy a win from me in Anti-League. I sucked up all your bad luck, just like I did for Alex Hain. I was a super sucker that day.
Be honest, you're the super sucker every day.
It's true I was the super sucker that day also. But yeah.
Go Peter,
yeah.
When I won the team seal that at the face-to-face games were 20 teams, he was on my team with Justin Richardson, so...
How much work did he do, though?
we put him in the middle, so...
Yeah.
He was our captain, after all.
Really?
I was actually at face-to-face games to test for the PTQ this weekend, and Sal himself... Told me that he listened to the whole thing. And,
did he really? Holy shit!
And couldn't understand your impression of him.
Fucking like, Sal.
Why does he make me sound like a Quebecer? I don't sound like that. But good to know those guys listened to our show like from beginning to the end. So yeah, props to those guys.
That was a fucking monster last week too. Holy
crap.
That was
a crazy episode.
We love you guys. We love you, Sal. We love you, Peter.
For sure.
We love you people who listened to that whole episode.
Wow.
So, what's happening, you Jobins?
Jobins. What have you been doing this week?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Played some... Star Wars?
Okay.
Hey, there was that one guy in the forum or in the comments who didn't like us talking about Star Wars.
Well, fuck yeah. That guy.
Fuck that so, guy. You played Star Wars. Who did you play Star Wars with?
Yeah, I played Star. It was pretty sweet. I played Star. My buddy Derek, who's wanted to learn Star Wars for like 2 weeks, I had him over and we played some Star Wars. And then he made one like so in the first two moves of the game, they made two bad maneuvers. So first of all, they started with their X-wing. I was
okay. No. You're gonna have to dumb this up way large.
You shut the fuck up. It was six TIE fighters against two A-wings and two X-wings. Okay. I was swarming them, but the TIE fighters don't have any shields. They just die real quick. And what did they do? They split up their force instead of coming at me out of 4-on-6. They came at me 2-on-6. Really far away. They saw where I was putting my guys. So Derek got blown out, and then the whole night he was just complaining and how bad it was. And he's like, this fucking game, and you fucking make one bad fucking maneuver, and you fucking die. Fucking fuck. And then today I got a message from him, and he's like, look at all the Star Wars shit I bought it. I can't wait to play it. You were right. I'm shitty at this game. I was looking at all the move templates. Look at all the crazy moves you could do. I was like, yeah. Just tell fucking Fantasy Flight to send me a check, okay? Just fucking move along. Yeah. So that's what I did, and I answered a bunch of questions about Star Wars, and nobody magic like at all.
It's because we know you don't actually play actual Magic.
True. Last week, I did go to FNM.
Oh,
did you play Banned Hexproof again?
I did, but I didn't have the real version because I couldn't find voices. So instead of voices, I think I played Dorks. And because I wanted to see how that was and try it out. Because the version that I was playing that didn't have voices was Dorks and 20 Land. And fuck, is that version ever terrible? Holy shit. I can't... Like, when I used to play Banned Hexproof, that's the version that I played. And it is absolutely garbage compared to the new version that KYT gave me with no Dorks.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I've said the whole time.
Yeah.
Right? Like I said, I don't think that this is right playing with no Dorks. But for some reason, it works really great and it's pretty awesome. I really think I should be playing with Dorks, turn two Geist, whatever. But it's actually just shit. If you don't have turn two Geist, then you don't...
That's what I fucking said!
That's the thing. If you don't have turn two Geist, then you don't have anything. Then you have shit. I played with that version, and it was a little wonky. I did get into the finals, and then I played against Jason Paul in the finals, who was playing, like, Burning Earth Mono Red.
Ooh.
He goes, in game one... He goes, turn one Cackler, and I go, turn one Scout. And then he goes, turn two Madcap skills, 5. And I'm like, yeah, sweet, fucking wicked. All right, come on, Selesnya Charm. Nope, can't draw one of those. And then we proceeded to basically kind of go back and forth, but he just absolutely crushed me. Like, it didn't even matter what I did. He just crushed me. And then in game two... It was the opposite. I basically drew my Nutter Butters and killed him, and he couldn't do anything about my double unflinching courage and my Fiend Slayer Paladin, because that card is so good. And then in game three, man, it was fucking crazy. Okay, so first of all, it's FNM. So let me preface this by saying it's FNM, which Jeremy, who's a judge, can back me up here. That it's like casual rules enforcement, which means
regular.
Sure. Which means there's like takesies, backsies, and shit, and like,
yeah,
you know?
Kind of.
Like it's not.
It's not designed to enforce and punish. It's designed to educate.
Right. Which
so
is
if you
which
do
is
something good. Wrong, they try and fix it, and they try to explain why it's wrong.
Which is super good for new players and everything, because like I said in the last episode at the GP. It's like enforce and punish. So you fucked up, and then I'm going to come in and talk legalese to you, and then I'm going to just, you're fucked, and then walk away. And then you're going to be like, what the fuck, man? What the fuck? And then I'm going to be like, yeah, you're dead, by the way. But at FNM, It's like, I'm going to do this. Oh, no, wait, I'm not going to do that. Takesies, backsies. And then it's like, yeah, sure, whatever. So Jason Paul on turn two, no, must have been turn four. He has a 2-2 first strike haste. What's this guy called? I have one right in front of me. Ash Zealot. He has an Axe Zealot. And I have a Fiend Slayer Paladin.
Yep.
With a Rancor on it.
Okay.
Okay. He goes untap, draw, play a Volcanic Strength to make his guy a 4-4 first strike.
Yeah.
Right? He goes Volcanic Strength. And I go, okay. And he goes, oh, wait. What's your guy's power toughness? And I'm like, he's a 4-2 first strike. And he's like, oh, okay. And he puts his shit back in his hand. And then he goes, actually, Tibble. And I'm like, well, whatever. Yeah, I'm like, you're going to have a Tybalt all day then, I guess. Like, what the fuck do I care about Tybalt, right? It's but Tybalt. I mean, he's basically just using Tybalt to draw cards and then be, like, extra burn, I'm imagining, at the end of the game if he ever needed it, right? Like, it's not like he's actually using it for any reason other than to just draw cards in your mono-red deck, which I guess is fine. I don't know if there's a better card than that. I surmise that there is, but whatever.
Probably just Chandra, but anyways.
Yeah, but I mean, like, yeah, I guess, yeah, yeah. So anyway, so then he does that. Now, the only reason that this is relevant is because later on in the game, I'm at 8 life, and he has a Tybalt at 4 counters. So he hits me for 2, because I have 2 cards in my hand with his Tybalt, putting me to 6. And then he attacks for 6 with 2-3 power guys? 3-3 power guys. 3-3 power guys. I have a tapped attacking last turn Glade Cover Scout with the Unflinching Courage, right? And then I have an untapped Invisible Stalker? Yeah, that's the guy's name. I have an untapped Invisible Stalker. Instead of blocking, I play Fog. Instead of blocking and playing Fog. Because I'm an idiot. Because let this be a lesson to you, because this will never happen to me again. If you have Fog or some version thereof in your hand, and you are going to die to lethal, but if you block, you will not die to lethal, even though you have Fog, you fucking block. You block, and then they say, and then you say Fog. Because what happens is, Jason looks at his hand and goes, Fog? And I've got the big dick now. I'm like, yeah, Fog, motherfucker. You're dead. You're
slamming
dead.
It on the table.
You win the fucking FNM. You are fucking done. Fog, red deck. Fog it. Fog your face. He goes, man, that's funny. And I'm like, is it funny? And he goes, yeah, that's pretty funny. And he reveals Skullcrack.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I take 3 damage. So what? So the damage can't be prevented from Skullcrack. Who cares? He's like, no, all damage can't be prevented. And I'm like, what?
Mind blown.
Yeah. He's like, oh, also Fog says prevent all damage. I'm like, oh my fucking god. And I had him on the crackback, obviously, right? Otherwise I wouldn't have swung my lifelinking guy. Yeah. So just FYI, fucking play block and then play Fog. Because there I would have just lost my Invisible Stalker. And then he would have lost one of his 2-1 guys. And then problem solved. I would have just beat him on the swing back. But nope, I'm a big twat. So that's how my FNM went. Also, FNM, if you want to make sure nobody has any fun, don't play a blue deck like normal. Play Banned Hexproof, at least until rotation. Like, nobody has fun against you, and all your matches are done in 20 minutes. So, yep. That was pretty sweet.
That's beautiful.
Yep. How did you guys do? How was your FNMs? How was your weeks?
Jeremy? Me? Uh-oh. Mine was good, man. Mine was good. I went and did some draft. Played some M14.
Yes!
Went and drafted the red-black Sack and Steel deck.
That sounds like a sweet place to get your steel that you need. The old Sack and Steel.
Exactly. So, you know, just like draft all the black things that you sacrifice to make things do things.
Yep. Yeah.
And then Act of Treasons, and then decent red cards if you can fit them in, too. So that was kind of the game plan, and I'm sitting there, it's like, okay, I'm going to draft this, and I'm going into Pack 3, I don't have any Act of Treasons, I have all these sack things, but nothing to sack to them, and I'm feeling pretty lousy, because it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, like, this is going to happen, and then I got, like,
a 10th pick, like young Pyromancer. So it's like, okay, well, you know, there's hope for the future. So open up the third pack, and like literally it's just like Actatrees, and all of a sudden I have a deck. So it was pretty good at that point there. Just played four rounds and went 3-1. I had a loss versus a guy playing the white-black kind of sack deck. So it was just kind of like he was like all in on Oromancer, so it was just like, whatever the black enchantment, Quake Sickness, your guy, Oromancer, Quake Sickness, your guy, Oromancer, Quake Sickness, your guy, Oromancer. And it was just like,
oh, that's so awesome.
It's not awesome. It's just like, oh my goodness, you're terrible.
It's like KYT's wet dream of an M14 draft. You understand? Wait. Were there two pacifisms in there too? Oh, tell me there were pacifisms.
Oh. I just drafted that deck. That's why.
I know. Oh, okay.
With Blightcaster. And it just feels so dirty.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I really like this format. Like, it seems like there's just...
I hate it.
You hate it?
I hate it.
Why?
There's no removal.
There's no
removal. I'm not
in favor... fucking Doomblade!
Did you not read Act of Treason?
I'm not in favor of this fucking bullshit Wizards thing where they basically just, like... Everybody wants to turn guys sideways, so we're not going to print any more counter spells. We're not going to print any more removal. We're going to put it all to rare and fucking uncommon. Fucking bleh. It's fucking garbage,
dude. Ring Flesh,
yeah.
Okay, Ring Flesh
is a -3/-1.
Liturgy
Let's
of Blood.
Let's be reasonable. Shrivel. Liturgy of Blood costs 5 mana and is a sorcery. Okay.
It costs 3. It gives you 2 mana. It costs you 3.
It gives you 3 mana, and that 3 mana you never use to do anything ever.
That's not.
Quagsickness is pretty good.
Quagsickness is all right. Quagsickness is all right.
It's pretty fucking good.
There's corrupt.
It's okay.
Corrupt.
Yeah, there's corrupt. Sweet 6 corrupt. Mana removal
okay.
spell.
Totally.
No, you guys got me. With your 5 mana, with your 5 mana sorcery and your 6 mana sorcery.
Green removal in this set.
Passive
removal. White removal. Red removal. Black
garbage.
Removal.
Garbage. Garbage.
Counter spells.
Shock and Flames of the Firebrand, right? Flames of the Firebrand are in the set or no? Or did they just rename it something?
I think it's Flames.
No, it's in that set.
It's in the set?
It's a sick card.
Yeah.
It's pretty stupid.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the thing that I don't like, I mentioned on the show, is just the value of the draft itself. Monetarily wise, it's like horseshit because every rare is just worth nothing.
Yeah, it's like you either get Archangel of Thune or the Hydra or nothing.
Or like I said the other time, like we played 3 sealeds and it's like everything was garbage. But I've come around. I think the format, like Jeremy says, is actually fun, well balanced, and I'm having fun with it. I'm having fun just grinding 8/4s online.
This is the same thing that we said about the draft format, like the core set last year, right? Like we said it, like exactly the same thing. And
I think this one's better still. Like the one last year was really good, but I think this one's better.
That's probably fine. I mean, like there were some really bomb rares last year, like Thragtusk and Thunderbolt Hellkite win like end games, right? So I mean, I can see where this one could be a little bit better. Like, the rares just feel generally a little bit underpowered.
I'm watching people draft the Dismiss into Dreams deck.
Oh, that's so much fun.
Yeah, like, with, like, the, whatever, the Zephyr Flight thing, whatever.
Charge? Zephyr Charge or something?
Yeah, and it's just, like, it looks so terrible, but just, like, so delightfully terrible.
Does it work?
It works. Oh, yeah, man.
It seems so bad.
I think I watched AJ draft it, and I think I watched Michael Jacob draft it.
I mean, I guess it's not... If you Frost Breath the next turn, I mean... Or something.
No, they're using the enchantment that you pay 2 mana to give a guy flying.
Right, but I imagine you're not playing that many copies of it, right?
Yeah, no. Like, yeah, you're playing like 2.
Yeah, even 1, and then just like random other things. You pair it up with black really well, and you can get like your Demonic Tutor or whatever that thing's called, whatever, Diabolic Tutor.
Right. I've lost to the deck, the other funky deck, which is the gain 4 life, make an angel deck. That
the Trading Post uncommon white enchantment deck.
Oh, yeah.
The Cauldron.
Simon also Lee, the Cauldron. Yeah. Simon Lee had 3 of those angel things in his deck and the Trading Post, and he said it, like there was just games where he was just basically like,
Yep, sack an angel, get an angel, gain 4 life, go. And the guy's like, untap. Go. yep, sack an angel, make an angel. Like, I did have kind of some fun drafting one of the decks. It was mono white.
Ooh. Mono white.
And it was fucking wicked. I had 2 pacifisms. I had 2 pacifisms and 2 brave the elements. I also had 3 celestial flares. And one of my teammates had 4 pacifisms and another 2 celestial flares.
Oh, God.
And, oh, I had 2 fortifies. There was a turn where I had no guys. Like, I just had, like, a bunch of 2 like, vigilant slivers and, like, a 2-3 and, like, a 2-2 and, like, the 1-1 first strike guy. And my opponent was playing green, and he had all of the fattest fucking guys on the planet. And he attacks, and I'm like, yeah, block like this. He's like, okay. I'm like, whatever. He's like, okay, like, effects 4 damage. I'm like, yeah, double fortify. And he's like, what? And like, yeah, so wrath you? And he's like, it was double fortify. And then I think also brave the elements because I needed to kill, block and kill and not lose my guys to his 8-8. And he's like, what the fuck? Okay. I was like, yeah, so that happens, I guess. And he's like, yep. All right, cool. So, go. And I'm just like, yeah, untap, kill you. It was fucking sweet. So I went 4-0. That was the only fun. That, other than that, this format sucks. I stand by that.
I want your opinion, Jay. How do you think of Fortify as a card? Because I think I may have overrated it at the beginning because it you have to be sort of winning, have more dudes because you have these white guys like the master of diversion that I want to save and +2/+0 is not going to do that. I need like show of valor or something else.
Right. So, and like, what do you think? I mean, like the thing with that is like, I never played with Fortify in whatever format it was in before. Like it's a reprint. Right. And somebody was telling me like, oh my God, Fortify. And I was like, yeah, what about it? And these are like the guys that just yell memes at each other all the time. Like they're the magic guys. So they're like, they're just saying like memes and shit to each other constantly. And then I'm like, okay, but also I don't get this joke you're referencing to Fortify. So cool story. Also, is like, are you? I'm trying to learn here. Is Fortify good, or are you just saying?
Or just yelling?
Or are you just saying things like, "What the fuck"? And then they're like, "Yeah, man, it's like one-sided overrun. So definitely play that shit." And then I'm like, "Okay, sweet." So I don't know how good it is. I think you're right. You do have to have like, you do have to have more guys than them. And then like, if you don't, it basically is like fog. Like you what block and fortify? Like that seems fucking shitty. You know?
Yeah, it's worse. It's way worse than Overrun because at least Overrun, you don't have to necessarily win the game on a spot. You get +3 on the back, right? Here, it's like you get +2/+0. It's like if you don't kill them, you're not, you know, you're just trading with all the, like, they're killing your guys.
Yeah.
So.
They had a card called Dynacharge that did something like that.
Ooh,
Dynacharge.
You're talking about Return to Ravnica?
Yeah, man. I'm talking about, like, a card that wasn't a one-sided overrun.
That was okay, right? You had to basically play, like, many Krenko's commands for that card to be good, if I remember correctly.
Krenko Command wasn't in Ravnica.
I'm thinking of some...
Thinking about the Goblin Rally or something like that.
The Goblin Rally. Make three Goblins. Yeah. You need cards like that to really maximize its power, yeah.
Yeah, that are just not enough playables.
But yeah, I was like Jay. I noticed a lot of people that went crazy, like, "Oh my God, Fortify is so good!" And you know, when I was playing it, I'm like, I need something that just like pumps my guy on the back, also. So definitely like Show of Valor more, especially to protect like a master, which I think is an insane card in a white deck.
You like the two-two guy that taps when he attacks?
Yeah. If you have an aggressive deck, he's insane.
Yeah. But
tap your 4/4, tap your whatever, your 8/8. So pretty sweet when you're ahead. So, but a lot of people think that it's hard to draft an aggressive white deck because like, the creatures are kind of, the rest of the creatures kind of iffy.
Well, that was the terrible thing. Like, so I drafted mono white and I was like, it was a mono white aggro deck. Like I had 2 Nefalia Sea Skites. I had a couple of green cards, like a troll hide here and like a big, I don't know, fat guy there. And but it was like, I don't know, like, I didn't,
I didn't really know how aggressive to be. And then, like, I don't know, I was having troubles, I found, like, being aggressive. Like, my guys just got outclassed, basically, by, like turn four or whatever. Like, I was immediately just outclassed. Yeah. When they played anything that had more toughness than two or three, I was just like, fuck, all right.
you can't win the fight on the ground, and in the air, you only have, like, what, Charging Griffin, which kind of, like, yeah, wins some of the air battles.
Yeah, like...
It's like, literally, it's like, you hope you have a Sarah Angel, and if not, you're just hiding behind
and
a
wall
of swords.
I had a Sarah Angel and an Archangel of Thune. Yeah. So I only saw both of them once, like, in one... I can't remember what game it was, but it was, like, one game. And it was like if I don't draw these, I'm, like, basically, like I got lucky that I had three, like, Celestial Purges and two Pacifisms, because otherwise I was fucking dead. Like, even if I come out really strong, they just drop one guy, and I'm just like, now I can't profitably attack. Like,
yeah,
like, so a lot of, like, Rich Hohen, he posted how he thought that White was just... He thought the format itself was really good, M14, but White was just unplayable. He said he would take an Elvish Mystic over a Bannister Priest. He would go as far as doing that.
Wow.
So that's how he feels. That, I mean, and I've seen White be underdrafted. I've seen, like, one of my friends played an 8-4 where he had ended up with five Celestial Flares. So
yeah,
I guess a lot of people are just... So you can capitalize on that.
It's like the guy who would have, like, the Nutso Izzet deck, like, back in, like, RTR draft.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Where it was, like, Izzet was the worst, but if you're the only guy drafting it, then it was the best.
Fuck you guys. Flare.
That's what happened. It was, like, attacking. I'm like, yeah, Flare. And then he's like, all right, well, sweet. Then he plays his Flare, and, like, it was a team draft, right? So they're all communicating and shit. And they're like, yeah, well, whatever. He plays his Flare, then. Who fucking cares? And then there's, like, attack, like, Flare. Attack, like... And then I'm like, Brave the Elements? They're like, fuck, all right, well, whatever. He had to blow his Brave the Elements. Big deal. So then we'll just get him with his fucking, when he untaps or some shit. And like, all right, I'll untap and Brave the Elements and kill you.
Nice.
And they're like, fuck, two Brave the Elements? Five Celestial Flares? What the fuck is this? What the
and
fuck
like,
is going on?
That's the best part about team drafts, because you can kind of like get the subtle like rubbins. It's like, come on, guys. You only didn't see, like, nine cards in this draft. You saw them all.
Yeah.
You knew they were there. You saw them all, and you gotta, like, just, you gotta just do the little needles like that. You gotta put them in there.
That was pretty good.
Well, what else did you do, Jeremy?
You know what? I got a job, which was neat.
Whoa.
Yeah, since the baby was born, I've, like, literally been just enjoying my wonderful EI and waiting for construction work in the greater Edmonton area, and I finally was able to snag some construction work that pays crazy industrial union rates, and so now I'm working, so that's positive. So I've been doing all that nonsense and trying to figure out, you know, how can I not fit in like 6 hours of watching Twitch and playing a couple drafts and sleep and work. Like, it's been a big, like, oh yeah, I've got to reprioritize my life to be an adult again. So yeah, there's been a bit of that. I'm really excited. I'm probably going to try and sneak in some Papers, Please tonight. I don't know if you guys heard of this game.
No. Nope.
Some what?
No.
Papers, Please. Okay, so it's like this indie game, and it's like you are like in this like Eastern Bloc, like, you know, super poor country that has recently opened its borders, and you are like the customs agent at the border of this place. And you've got to, like, go through all of, like, the people come with, like, their sob story about why they want to get into the country, and they have to give you, like, their passport and all of their visas and all these things, and you have to go through it and find any errors or see if it's legit and send them through. And it's like each person you send through, you get enough money so that you can pay for power and food for your family that's starving back home. And it's, like, just, like, super, like... There'll be, like, the husband who comes through, and he's like, oh, my wife's right behind me. Please let her come through quickly. We have to meet somebody. And the wife comes in, and she's missing, like, one random nonsensical piece of paper. And you're just like, denied. Get out of here. And you just, like, there's, like, so many things. So, like, the crazy old man who comes back every day with, like, the crayon passport, he gives it to you. He's like, yeah, a citizen. It's like,
what the fuck?
It's just like this like super random like awesome game, and it just like they finally launched the non-beta version of it today, so It's like $10 on Steam. I'm just gonna go and like probably just play the heck out of it as I fall asleep. The game's just it's really cool. Also, just like as a Magic player, because it like you have like only a limited amount of time in the day. So the more people you get through, the more money you get, and the more days you get to play. And it's like you kind of like get the situation like where it's like something happens and you've got to like go through all of this information very, very quickly and pick out very, very tiny details. So, you know, it really helps me like think of like when I go and I look at a big board state and stuff like that, or, you know, I draw a card and I'm like, okay, I've got to make a lot of decisions, but I've got to find like all these like little points, like these little, you know, insignificant things that actually really matter. So it's just, it's really cool in that it just kind of keeps you sharp and keeps you focused. So I like games like that, games that I can play that still help me with my Magic game. So, yeah, and it's also just like very, very just like dry wit, like cold humor, like awesome. But aside from that, you know, played a little bit of Commander and did a little bit of that and got some cards, and yeah, it's been a good week.
It's awesome.
Yeah, did my last episode on the other show, the old show. So,
yeah, how'd that go?
It was nice.
Who cares?
Ouch! Yeah.
No, go ahead. Tell us about that show.
He's one of the like regulars on Monday Night Magic, and he's like right now building like a radio telescope on a mountain in Australia.
Oh, Jesus.
Sweet. Yeah. So I guess he like told them like right in the middle of their workday, like, I'm sorry, I got to go do a podcast. And I guess they just gave him like strange faces. Like, what are you talking about? And he came on and did the show because it was like the last show for me. So that was really cool. So, you know, I had a lot of fun doing that show, but I'm sure I'm going to have a lot more fun doing this show. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That reminds me of the TSG compliment he gave us on Twitter the other day.
Yeah, that's actually the subversive reason why I'm here. You know, if he's calling this Monday Night Magic, like, why am I on that Monday Night Magic? This is the new Monday Night Magic, you know?
We love you, TSG. We love you.
Doing it right. Doing it right. Awesome.
KYT, what were you up to?
I've been just a degenerate drafter. Also,
somebody's girlfriend's in Europe. Rob Springer.
Yeah.
Wow.
For the first time, I didn't understand why my Moto count I couldn't trade with other people. It turns out that for the first time ever, I actually bought via PayPal tickets from someone that had a stolen credit card. And had to get that resolved. So that has resolved. So I don't know what they're going to do with that guy. But, you know, I got to keep the tickets I bought. I had to show them the PayPal statement and everything. But it was interesting first time. So I couldn't, like, buy. Like, I was stuck. I wanted to test standard. But I couldn't buy the cards I was missing because I couldn't trade with anyone. So, you know, I ended up drafting a lot. And there was one. I don't know when's the last time I felt this way where I just hated losing. So I was like playing 8-4. So you really have to make it to the finals. And I just kept losing and losing. And this was Wednesday night and I worked the next day or Tuesday night. But I just kept playing. I'm like, I got to win one. And so I lose, join the next 8-4. And that's how degenerate I was. And
jeez.
I ended up winning the last one, but I don't know if it has anything to do with my skill because pack one, I open a Chandra. And pack three, I open a Garrick, and I just force like a green-red deck, and I just pounded face. And I knew every time that I would have both of them in play, surely enough, the opponent would just say something in chat, like, really? Oh, nice deck, or like, every time, as I slowly beat them.
Should have made like a trash talk bingo card, you know, like, just like the... But I love the full Johnny style, that's kicking it.
Yeah. And last night, I won another 8-4, and once again, my first pack, this time it was a foil Chandra, and she's just so sick because, I mean, I got mine rotted, my bomb, my Shivan Dragon got Doombladed, but then I just top deck her, and she basically, essentially, in the middle part of the game, she essentially draws you two cards per turn, and it's just really hard for the opponent to deal with that, and so... So I don't know if I'm good at M14 yet. I'm just really good when I open a play.
You're good at Chandra.
other than that, I'm trying to play test for the I believe it's the final PTQ, like with this standard configuration, with this exact standard metagame for me.
They're coming to an end right away here. Like, yeah, the last one's
yeah, right. I think the last one's this weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is my big push, and going to Burlington, where I've never top eighted there, I don't think. So I haven't had that much success there. But looking forward to going right now. I'm in the same position as I was last PTQ, just testing a bunch of decks. And if I don't feel good about any one of them, I'm actually audibling back to Jund, which is always a safe choice to go to. But today I play tested all day a bit with Alex. And he's trying to convince me, like, you know how he loves to troll all the time. And
yes,
he's making fun of the Kibler deck, like, nonstop as he's playing it. He's like, this is awful. Look how many mana dorks it plays. Like, you know, there's no action. So, and then Blondin, William Blondin, who one of my friends and who's been mentioned on the show before, he was planning to play it. And after our test session, he felt he wasn't sure about that deck anymore, which is weird since the Kibler deck has been all the hype online. Everyone thinks it's the sickest deck. So I don't know if any of you guys have run into it.
No.
So here's the thing about that deck. Like, so first things first, like, red green aggro, the slower or the faster smaller version of that has basically been the moto deck because it's dirt fucking cheap to build, right?
It's so the Soul Sisters of Standard,
seriously. So then of course Kibler comes along and he, you know, goes a little bit big because you can't be a Kibler deck on a big stage and not have a dragon in the list. It's basically like somebody put it. Oh God, I'm trying to remember which article it was. It may even have been PVs. Oh, let me see if I can pull this up real quick here. But basically, it's almost like the Nihilist, except that there's no Boros Reckoner, right? So like they're very, very, very similar decks. Okay, so red green is better versus Jund. Okay, so like the red green deck and the Nia deck are almost the same deck, like. Basically, you've got all of the same sort of top-end threats, right?
Yep.
Which is, like, the Thundermaw, Hellkite, and all that sort of stuff. Like, if you take a look at Willy's Nia deck, it's very close to what we were playing, to what I was playing in Calgary. And, like, the main difference is you've got, like, there's more mana dorks in the Kibler deck. You've got Boars and Hellriders, you know, and Strangler guys, so they still sort of, like, mess around on the ground, but all of those cards basically still fucking suck to Loxodon Smiter, right? So, like, it's interesting because depending on what your metagame is, really should determine what deck play, right? It's really, really weird. So, like, the red-green version is better versus Jund because Jund is a slower deck in general, right? Like, they're not doing a whole hell of a lot till turn 4 or 5. You basically have the capacity to put them at, like, fucking 10 or less by turn 4, and then just drop Burning Earth and win. Like, it's just stupid, right?
Right.
But against, like, the green-white decks and the red-green, like, in the red-green mirror, I mean, all of those little guys look fucking dumb next to Boros Reckoner and Loxodon Smiter. So you really have to really, you know, if you're going to play a red-green X deck that's not Jund, you really need to have a handle on what it is you're walking. I think. PV seems to think that blue, white, red is probably the best deck. The other deck you should probably play, in my opinion, either Austria's version or someone else posted one. Fuck, hold on, I'm going to find it. But like black, white, red aristocrats, which is basically just like black, white, red, or like black, white humans deck, but it plays both the good cards. Hold on, where are we here? Come on, come on, come on. There you are. Yeah, this one here. The one that plays first at the Magic Online premiere event. You ready for this? So, Jay, even you can appreciate this deck, I'm sure. 4 Blood Artists, 4 Cartel Aristocrat, 4 Champion of the Parish, 4 Doom Traveler, and then you get into 4 Falcon Wrath Aristocrat, 4 Zathrid Necromancer, 2 Olivia Voldaren, and then you've got 2 Planeswalkers, 4 Tragic Slip, 4 Gather the Townsfolk. So it's, like, really focused on humans. And really just, like, leveraging all of that stuff to get there. 2 Olivias in the main deck are pretty good, in my opinion. And basically, like, Zathrid Necromancer being super, super good. You could even play some Skurzdag High Priest in the sideboard, which would also help to shore up some of those other matchups or some of those cards are less impressive.
I think you go deeper, man. I think you get rid of like the gather the townsfolk and you go Thatcher's Revolt. I think you go deep.
That's really deep.
That's not super deep, though.
Except that Thatcher's Revolt tokens can't really block well.
Who cares? You get zombies and you get giant champion of the parishes.
Doesn't that cost 3?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
3, though. 3.
You get 3.
Yeah. And you already got red.
That's true. That's true. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10. 10, 11, 12 red sources. That's not bad. Anyways, I think that this deck seems pretty sweet. And the sideboard looks good. You get to play like a Needle, some Blood Barons, some Thalias, War Priest of Thunes. Seems pretty sweet.
Well, I remember talking to Pascal when he won with Aristocrats Act 1, and he said, like, if you're playing against mid-range, so long as you don't run into Burning Tree Emissary decks, like, you're just going to win. And right now, the format is not Burning Tree Emissary decks.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, it seems like a really good place to be doing the Aristocrats thing right now.
Yeah. There is a... Oh, so this is the deck that I think is interesting. This one seems really sweet. And I think I may actually build this as my second deck to mess around with it. But it's it came in second place at a Magic Online event, premier event. So it's Bant Geist deck. It's the Bant Populate deck, but good. Yeah. So this is 4 Gyre Sage, 4 Voice of Resurgence, 4 Geist of St. Trapped, 2 Wayfaring Temple. So this is basically an elemental that's sort of like the token that you get from the voice. Its power and toughness is equal to the number of creatures you control. Casting cost on it is green, white, 1. But whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you get to populate, which seems pretty sweet since not many people are going to block like the 2 or 3-3, right? So then you get 4 Garrick Relentless, which basically is removal and or a token maker. And then you've got 4 Dreaded Penis Assault, 4 Centaur token, Call of the Conclave, 4 Selesnya Charm for removal, 2 Cyclonic Rift for removal.
Selesnya Charms are also tokens.
I'm aware. And 4 Rootborn Defenses, which, like, fuck up combat math really well, I can tell you. 2 Gavinny Townships as part of the land package. You have 4 Unflinching Courage in the sideboard. You got Tristani's, Garrick's. You can eat, like, Druid's Fog, the Populate Fogs. You can go, like, bigger. Slayer of the Wicked just to kill Olivia and stuff. Like, this deck seems hilarious. This seems, like, fun. I don't know. This seems like a better version of the deck that I played against in the Super Series Round 7.
I wish I had time to, like, it does look really good, so.
I mean, 4 Unflinching Courage. Like, nice red deck.
I was playing, like, the blue-red, like, the full-out Bant version of this.
This,
like,
is Bant.
Earlier in the year. Or is this Bant? Oh, yeah, Geist, yeah, Dur. Yeah. But, like, with Unsummons instead of Cyclonic Rifts and playing, like, Simic Charms and having, like, the main deck Rootborn Defenses, having some of the main deck Druid Deliverance. Like, a lot of the same stuff. It wasn't running the Advent of the Worms.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a fun deck. Like, it was just very, very tempo-y. It had Snapcaster Mages, so you could kind of rebuy on a lot of those spells.
Yeah.
And it could do some, like, really, really crazy things. But it really always felt to me like a deck that was just, like, you're going to win because your opponent doesn't know what you're doing.
Yeah, so whereas this one, I feel like you basically get to play these absurdly high-power value cards with a couple cards that synergize with it. Like, Voice, Geist, Advent, all absurd cards.
Yeah.
In their own right, and you get to play all these other cards which support them. So, I don't know, it seems like fun. It seems like a deck that I would totally play. I don't know if I'd take it to a PTQ, but, like, I would totally enter into a... Oh, sorry.
Wow.
I would want
to not only bored everybody listening, but bored himself so much that he fell asleep.
Oh.
Perfect.
Sorry. I would actually totally play this in, like, a daily event. I may actually run this up. The deck seems like... So.
Could you, like, put Bravey Elements in this deck?
Technically, yes.
But the
Worm tokens are green and the Gyre Sages are green. So, I mean, like, I don't understand why you'd play that over just, like, Reborn Defenses. It's just better, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, like, is it a matter of, like, are you wanting to tap your mana and have,
Lance
like,
Lance
smaller...
wasn't on this show.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I don't know if you need Brave. I mean, like, sure, you might be afraid of, like, Bonfire, but your guys are going to get
that,
fucking
that's,
enormous.
That's exactly it.
You guys are going to get enormous so fast, though.
Yeah.
So. I imagine that if this deck doesn't get off to a good curve start, it's going to be really, terrible. Yeah, it's going to be really bad. Like, I can see that this is going to suffer the Jund problem of drawing the wrong half of the deck, except that not all the cards are amazing. So it's not as good as Jund.
Bum, 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 bum.
Wow. All right. Anyways, I thought it was neat. Deck looked cool. But also, the Aristocrats deck looks pretty sweet. The one where you basically just play black-white humans and then add Olivia. Seems pretty sweet.
Just play Burn at the Stake. Be a man.
Don't do that.
I'm not playing all these, like, things I'm not sure are good with one day left.
Yeah.
I did test the deck that I've been talking about constantly, which is the green-black deck. And every article seems to be saying that with Burning Earth as a major player moving forward, that they would prefer, like, Jerry PV seems to suggest that green-black might be the safer choice if you're deciding between green-black and Jund. But I've played it, and I just think that while more consistent in terms of mana, it just lacks, like, certain cards that I enjoy from Jund, namely Rakdos Return and Ripping Bonfire off Olivia. Like, Olivia just takes over games by herself a lot of times, so I'm not too sure, and the green-black deck is obviously has a miserable, at least game one matchup against blue-white-red, because you just have all these dead creature kill spells in your hand, Mutilate isn't really that great,
yeah,
etc. So that's why in testing today, well, I was playing Justin Richardson, who's planning to play blue-white-red. It was just miserable to play against that deck, unless I did, like, turn 3 Liliana, turn 4 Desecration Demon, turn 5 Raska, and he has absolutely no answers somehow. Then I guess I'm good. But so moving, like, I might audible. It's my safe backup choice as always, and it has always served me well. The question is whether I play the Reduke version, which Owen also won a TCG, big TCG tournament with, with only two changes, which is the addition of Golgari Charm in the sideboard, or do I play the Team Channel Fireball version, which is the Life Bane Zombie version?
Ugh, Life Bane Zombie's so bad.
why do you say that?
I don't know, like, I find that by the time that it's relevant, it's late? Ugh, I don't know, like, it just seems like it does not do a very good job at the things that people think it's going to do a good job against. Like, on the draw, it doesn't get the Smiter and it doesn't get the voice. On the play, it doesn't get the voice. You know, like, it just seems kind of, you know.
Maybe bad against you, I guess, unless they're on the play and they play it and then they take Geist and you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
But I can see, like, but I think it's very good against red-green, where you can steal a creature and then trade with your Flint Hoof Bore, so it's, like, essentially a 2-for-1.
Yeah.
And in those matchups, it's just an all-star. So, Scott, what do you think? Should I play Life Bane or not?
So, if you're going to play Life Bane Zombie, 4 Life Bane Zombie is incorrect, I think. Like, I think if you're going to try to shoehorn 2 of them in and find some sort of hybrid, that's probably fine. If you want a third one in the sideboard or whatever, also probably fine. But, like, I think 2 is probably where you want to be on that personally. But again, like, I mean, I'm just probably agreeing with PB because he's really smart, that guy. Yeah, that's sort of where I was at. Like, it's nice, sure, like, PV puts it right about Life Bane Zombie. Like, the big cards that you're really worried about aren't even fucking green more often than not, right? Like, the biggest, like, Thundermaw Hellkite is a huge card that's really big game. Like, Reanimator's not really all that relevant right now.
Right.
So, I mean, what are you going to get? Like, are you happy? So, I guess you got to ask yourself, are you happy taking a Flint Hoof Bore with a Life Bane Zombie?
Nope.
I'm right? Fine. As long as, like, the body itself also trades with one of their guys, then I'm pretty happy.
Okay. And if that's the case, then that's probably okay. But, like, you basically are cutting removal to pull A this guy. Right? Like, if you take a look at the lists that Reed and Owen ran, and you compare them to these ones with, like, main deck Life Bane Zombies, they're sacrificing removal. So, Life Bane Zombie is basically a proactive removal spell that may trade with something else and may be able to clock your opponent, right? And may remove something from their hand. But, like, it's not as surefire thing as, you know, a copy of Abrupt Decay.
It's kind of like playing an Augur of Bolas, but it counts how many instants or sorcery your opponent has.
Yeah. And, like, then it also costs you Planeswalkers if it doesn't cost you that much removal. Like, it, I don't know. I don't know. Like, it's two. Like, if you want three in the 75, that's fine. But there's no way in hell you catch me playing four. And I don't think you're going to play, like, more than two in the main deck.
Okay.
Well, isn't it like, isn't it just a rule of thumb, though? Like, if like, some messed up situation where, like, magic playing aliens came from another planet and they said, we'll destroy your Earth unless one person plays Jund against us, you just give them Reduke. And you just, like, you know, you take whatever deck that Reduke, like, you play Reduke Jund. Like, that's the guy who's got to go and play that match. Like, I figure you just play his list.
Yeah. Now, that said, like, Lifebane Zombie does a good job in the mirror. Like, hands down it does, right? The only card it's not going to take that you're really worried about is Olivia.
Like, but at the same time, Reed Duke went and played against these people who were all playing Jund, and he said, yeah, don't need it. So again, it's just like the Reed Duke rule.
Because it's good and bad, because you can easily bonfire that guy, you can easily Olivia him for one, to regain that, so it becomes a one-for-one again, so...
Yeah,
it kind of depends how the match plays out, so I could see why Reed ended up winning. Well, I don't know, I don't even know what his standard record was, so I'm not gonna say that he actually won all the mirrors or anything. But no, he actually went three, he had to have gone 3-0, him and Shahar. In the standard portion.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did.
But I don't know what they played, so... Like, I know Wesco, in his report, he played blue-white-red, like, Naya and something else. So, I don't know. But Jun is definitely the deck that I... It's just, like, as I'm unsleeving it to build a green-black deck, like, every card is just so powerful and... actually expensive in monetary value. I'm just like, every land, every planeswalker, every removal spell. I mean, this is just money. This deck is pure money. How could this not be good?
Jund was played three rounds.
Right.
So rounds three through six?
Four through six.
Four through six? Right. That's what I meant. Okay. So that's cool. So Reed won 1-2 and he lost 1. Kipler? He went 2-1.
Okay.
And in round 6, he played against Kipler. So he lost to Red Green. So he lost to the Burning Earth deck.
The greatest deck.
Which is interesting. Like, people saying, like, Jun should be bad against Burning Earth, but I'm reading Kipler's deck courtesy of having an iPhone, iPad. And he said that he did not side it in against Lifebane Jun. So I think that's really interesting. He says that Lifebane Jun has the potential to have enough early plays to clock him where he doesn't feel like Burning Earth is as effective against that particular version.
Well, I mean, so they had 7 drops, like 3 Scavenging Ooze, 4 Lifebane Zombie, and then also 4 Huntmasters. There's a lot of creatures that can come down fairly early, especially if we're talking about a Farseek.
Yeah, like, Burning Earth is only good if you're already ahead against Jun. What it does is it takes away their ability to gain life with Ragtusk, and it shuts off their Kessick Wolf Run, essentially. Like, those are kind of the two good things that it does. I guess it also turns off Rakdos Return and away. But it's like, if you're already behind, like, if he's getting the 2-for-1s with the Lifebane Zombie on you, like, you don't want to be dropping Burning Earth, because if it's, like, just, like, an even board type thing like that, like, I still feel like they're just going to win, because that's what their deck's supposed to do. Like, if you go 1-for-1 with them, they're always going to get you. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah.
Like, it's better to say Groll Warchant would be a better card in that matchup. I don't
know. No, Chandra's amazing.
Chandra, man. Amazing Chandra. In draft and standard.
No, seriously, Chandra does a really good... She does a number on Jund. Like, A, she just picks off those Lifebane Zombies, and B, you can really do, you know, a number. Like, You can keep Garrix at bay. You know, they go to, like, play Garrix, make a beast, you know, and you just, like, play Chandra, falter the beast, kill your Garrix. Like, deal the one to the Garrix, then kill it. Like, it's pretty good. Even just, like, Huntmasters as well. Like, they play Huntmaster to stabilize, planning on chomping with the wolf, and you just, like, plus one the ping the wolf. So then they either, like, eat it or have to block the Huntmaster, which is bad for them. You know, she does this really good job. Thragtusk, gain 5, nope. Falter, eat 9. Like, it's really good. She's very, very good.
Yeah. Anyways. So the last thing I did today before going on the show, and Scott was watching me get my ass handed to me by CVM on his stream, where I decided to just build West Coast deck because, you know, a few people were saying, they think it's the real deal, but, like, by looking at it, they think it's the real deal. I'm like, I looked at it. I guess he had a winning record at Worlds, actually, one of the few. So I decided to give it a try, and CVM was playing a big, like, I guess a medium red deck, Scott. I don't know what to call it.
It's big red.
But with a lot
a
of
medium a medium red deck. What are you playing? Red deck wins? No, this is medium red.
Maybe medium in the States. You know, their portions this are bigger.
Is, yeah, this is medium. This is medium. What are you playing there? Are you playing medium white? Or what do you got? Medium?
So my deck had a bunch of X1s, and then Chandra was just picking them off one by one, and I couldn't get through. It was hard for me to get through Boros Reckoner to kill her. So I'm just really impressed by hers, like, in every single way, every time I've had a chance to play her, both in limited and in standard. So I wonder if I was just bagging on it too hard earlier, or I'm just out of my mind.
I think all those 8 Boros you're winning.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, come on.
I think it's everybody's bagging on Chandra Little. And I mean, that's
fine. It's only 15 at face-to-face games. Wasn't it like 25 at one point? Maybe 30 even?
23, I think I saw it at the peak.
Okay. Yeah. Like, it's 15 at face. So I feel like just picking them up. I mean, I can't see them going down to 10, could it?
Maybe? Probably not. I feel like it's just Ralzeric. Like, it's just a fucking.
I think
yeah.
It's she's better than Ralzeric.
Well, of course you do.
She's gotta be.
I don't know. She doesn't seem that great. She seems like she's good in the role she plays, but other than that, she seems pretty blame.
Yeah, but at least she has a home, right? Like, yeah.
Well, I guess. Like, is medium red a home?
Well, I mean, Naya as well, right? Like, medium red and Naya, they both. Or, like, Kibler's green red aggro. Like, he was saying that he'd really want to play two of her instead of the Gruul War Chant that he was playing in the sideboard.
Hmm.
Can we, like, call it Venti red or Grande red?
No, oh, Jesus, really?
Venti red, yeah, let's call it that. I am for that. I agree.
There we go.
Well, yeah, that's the extent of my testing, getting owned. So, Scott, how was your week?
My week. So, I actually played this Venti red deck on my stream this week, and because I thought I would, you know, play to all these sweet cards that I like Boros Reckoner and Thunderaw Hellkite and Bonfire of the Damned.
You looked at them all.
I did look at them all. and like, it had some Mutavault, so I thought that could be exciting. It was playing 4 copies of Burning Earth, which was awesome. I got a few extra copies of Chandra to, like, shoe her in there and make her work well. And I fucking hated the deck.
Yeah.
Like, hated it. Now, that said, I was playing the version from Calgary that was running 3 or 4 Brimstone Volleys in it.
Yeah.
And now watching you play against CVM, and his list has Flames of the Firebrand, I like that card a lot better.
Hmm.
I like that card's a lot better than Brimstone Volley in that deck. Because it allows you to be a little bit more surgical with your removal, which I think that style of deck really needs to run with. Because it's not like a really monstrous aggro deck. It is very much a mid-range deck, and you need to play it as such. People that are just trying to, like, bash a bunch of crap against the wall and hope that you kill your opponent are not going to be successful with this list. So,
well, at the same time, you also didn't really play against real decks. Like,
I played against 2 green white life gain decks.
Oh, yeah, it's like the Shastani Archangel of Thune deck. It's just like, this is so fun. Like, someone's just totally trolling you.
Yeah. The last one was the worst. So, like, My opponent in my last round plays first, like, a million different lands, okay? All, like, bant colors, and I end up just, like, resolving Burning Earth, and just, like, start attacking him with Hellriders, and he eventually dies, right? Because he, like, literally does nothing. Like, nothing. And so then game two, he goes Farseek, turn three, rocks Faithmender, turn four, increasing Savagery.
Ugh.
Attack you for six, and I'm like, is this what your deck does? Untaps, plays Wolfear Silverheart, pairs it up, and bashes. I'm like, okay, all right, you got me. Nice sideboard tech. And then next game, same thing. Turn three, fucking rocks Faithmender. Turn four, increasing Savagery. And I'm like, is this your deck? Is this what you do? Oh, so bad. Oh, God, that list. Anyways, so that was really, really rough. And life gain, who knew, is very good against red deck.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knows? Who cares?
Medium red.
Medium red. But I don't know. I definitely recommend, if you're going to play the deck, I definitely recommend looking at the Flames of the Firebrand, and I definitely recommend playing only three Mutavaults, because I felt like playing more than that was just like a savage waste.
Yeah, it was great, because like every time you had a Boros Reckoner in your hand, you had two Mountains and a Mutavault. Like,
yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. It was just the worst.
Sweet justice.
Yeah, it was fucking terrible, and it made me really angry. There was one game I literally had, I drew my third land on turn 7. Yeah, there's 25 lands in the deck. I was thrilled. Anyways, I don't like the deck. It's not for me. It's a fine deck, I'm sure. With tuning, it's fine. It's not for me.
It looked like shit while watching it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was really bad. Really bad.
I was making fun of it to KYT on Facebook chat.
Like, what is this? It's like the deck everyone was making fun of in the GP Calgary top 8 when they saw the deck list. But
oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I guess CVM like is trying to tweak it, so we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's that. What else did I do? I bought Star Wars this week.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah, I figured that I want to get something that my son can play, and
oh,
so
sweet.
Yeah, so I thought, and because like with his friends too, like he's been experiencing challenges where he's trying to teach his friends Magic, but he's a terrible teacher, and because he's 13, his patience knows every end. And his friends aren't exactly the brightest bulbs in the... So, that said, I wanted to try to get him something that he could... that he could play with his friends. That would be fun, and that I could play with him, and it wouldn't be totally shitty. So that's what I did. Sweet. And, yeah, it's been pretty good.
He likes it?
He does, yeah.
It's
yeah.
The best. How could he not like
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so we played one game, or we played, like, four games, I think, last night, with basically just, like, two TIE Fighters, one X-Wing. Like, just, like, one starter box, let's play the game.
Yeah.
And it was good, and he's like, yeah, I like this. And I'm like, okay, I'll get another starter. And, like, I'd already got the other starter. But I was just like, I'm not going to open this if he is going to play the game and think it's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
So, balls to that.
Balls.
Balls. But no, turned out he enjoyed it. He liked it. It was good. And so, yeah, we're gonna play more.
J.Taharski at gmail.com, Fantasy Flight Games. You could get my contact information there, and I will give you my address to send the check to.
You're just gonna get, like, a Twitter campaign that you have to, like, get everybody who's going to PAX to
yeah.
walk by the Fantasy Flight booth and say, Jay sent me.
Is Jay here? Jay sent me.
Is yeah. Jay here?
I think you just do that. Like, I think you could probably get enough people to go up to that booth that they'd be like, okay, who's this Jay guy? We got to find him.
That's
you
hilarious.
Know, Jay Bush from Twitter. Yeah, isn't man. He your representative? He got everybody into fucking Star Wars.
I got a box full of this stuff and I have no one to play it with. I just wanted it.
Really? Nobody will play that game with you?
No,
what
man.
What a chode town you live in.
I know. Like, seriously, I hear it's like you're playing with BZ and all them down there. It's like,
yeah, man, we play like fucking 5 days a week if we could.
Yeah, it's fucked.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I love these types of games, and it's like all my buddies are like, that doesn't look like a Magic card, and then like they get burnt out on Magic, and they start playing like some god-awful like anime-looking card game, and it's just like, play fucking Star Wars! Let's go play Star Wars!
Don't play this! What's wrong with you?!
It's like, you look at the cards, and it's like, are you a pedophile now? Like, what's wrong with you?
Sweet. Oh. Yeah, so that's good. So I'm excited, and it's given him something as well. If he wants to spend his money on it, then he can. And I said, look, I'll buy the two starters, and then the next batch is up to you. He's like, sweet. Yeah. So, I mean, like, his next batch will probably include, like, one X-Wing, one TIE Fighter.
But you need those. You need those to get all the other pilot cards and shit.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know. I'm excited.
It's the best.
I basically just want to get, like, I'm not interested at this point in getting into, Y-Wings and A-Wings yet, I don't think.
Oh, man, A-Wings are the best ships of the game!
Why?
Well, they're almost the best ships in the game. Because they can boost. Boost and barrel roll are, like, okay, so first of all...
A-Wings barrel roll, too?
No, they don't barrel roll, but they come with an upgrade that lets them barrel roll. Oh. And TIE Interceptors do both.
Yeah, no, that... So those are the ones I
Which is retarded.
Yeah. So I almost wonder if, like, if I should even bother getting an actual TIE fighter, like, just the single expansion. Like, it comes with the Backstabber and something else, right? Like,
yeah, so like, it comes with three pilots, I think. And I recommend it because you need the pilots. Like, you need to to have those pilots.
But I definitely want to get a couple Interceptors because I think they look fucking sweet.
Yeah, they're really good. You need to get both Interceptors and, in my opinion anyway, you need Interceptors and A-Wings just so both teams can have a ship that boosts. But, no, it's that's awesome that you guys are playing it. And... anyone who's complaining about Star Wars on this podcast, we've talked about it a lot, so I'm sorry.
So when does Red Squadron start?
Oh, speaking of which, I don't know what that is. Speaking of which, all day today, I just built squadrons on this sweet fucking squadron builder website I found.
I saw one too.
Is it the one where you hover over the cards and it shows you them and then you go check boxes and then it tells you how many points you have and then you can print them out?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah! So I made some squadrons today. I got Zoom Squadron. I got Dark Squadron. I got Black Squadron. I got a lot of squadrons.
You have like Blacker Squadron.
Flacker Squadron. I mean, I got the Roger Squadron. That's just all the droids, and they just go, Roger, 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 Roger. Also, if Magic had squadrons, fucking, then we would be talking about
They did have squadrons, and the last time it happened, it almost broke standard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right. Remember Squadron Hawks?
Oh, yeah. See, Roger, 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 Roger. Yeah, that's true. You can't have squadrons, my bros. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry to disappoint. We ruined it. You guys ruined it. Fucking, who drew those squadrons? Wasn't it Rob Alexander?
I don't know.
I don't know. Leave it up to Rob Alexander. I think it was, because everybody was getting signatures at GP Calgary of them.
Terrible.
Yep.
So Shahar won.
Did he?
Yeah.
Fucking, really?
Because he's got Moxie.
Oh, man, that's crazy talk.
The fuck does that shit count for these days anyway?
I can't believe he won. You called it.
I did.
What a piece of shit. Fucking new guy coming in here. And
showing us what's what. He gets to pick last in all the drafts now moving forward, okay?
Yeah.
No new guy firsts for him. Fuck that guy.
You weren't fighting for Shahar at all.
You don't know.
No.
That's the loosest argument.
You don't know that. So.
Were you glued to that KYT, him, you know, running the boggle? Did you learn something?
No, not really.
He didn't teach you fucking shit?
No. But I was definitely rooting for Reed in the finals, and... was really disappointed. Like, it was exciting games 2, 3, and 4, and game 5, obviously, Mulligan to 4, and just, like, I guess he could have won with, like, the insane 4 and a good top deck, like, with his next draw, but it was definitely anticlimactic to see him lose that way.
Yeah.
But his list is very interesting because it's very different from the list that I ran, whereas I didn't like Keen Sense because I didn't think that you needed to draw more cards. You just wanted an enchantment to just bash them faster, just like to beat them before that they can recover. You're not trying to play like a sort of attrition game where you're trying to draw more cards, but That was my take on the archetype. So it was cool to see him play the full set of Keen Sense and then also adding Inflinging Courage. So I am definitely looking forward to trying his version and see how he plays out. He did end up in his sideboard. One of the strategies that I did consider, and I asked, remember asking Jerry, I don't know if Scott remembers this, where I asked him, should I play Leyline of Sanctities or not? Like, because it's such an all-in strategy. So I guess Reed Duke decided that he needed to go all-in against opposing Jun Dex with Liliana and stuff. So definitely looking forward to trying. Like, the main deck's the main thing that's different. The sideboard, a lot of choices we've talked about either on the show or I've considered. So it's really the Keen Sense that I have to try again with the Inflinching Courage.
I guess he just goes off, right? Like, Unflinching Courage wasn't it when you were playing it either.
Right.
And, like, that card, I think, does a lot of work for the deck. Being able to, like, I mean, we've talked about this before when Jay was talking about Hexproof. Like, being able to give your shit trample is so good.
Yeah, like, I had a bunch of people ask me for my GP list and for some pointers and stuff this week on email and stuff. And like, basically, like, they were all playing... Like, they all wanted to play Simic Charms, and they didn't understand why I, like, wasn't. And I was like, yeah, because giving your guy Trample, even with Simic Charm, giving your guy Trample is so much better than +3/+3, or giving your shit Hexproof. Like, I don't know why you would need to give your Hexproof guys Hexproof. That's stupid. And then also, Unsummon is pretty bad, and you can just... The guys that you care about Unsummoning are 5 power anyway. So...
Yeah, it's just use Celestia Charm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it just seems better in every single way. And there were so many times when making a guy on their turn and then untapping and loading him up, like, was super relevant. Or giving my guy Trample. Like, just giving anything Trample, instead of just giving it +3/+3 and having it still be chumped, but just live, was, like, such a, like, a big difference. Mm-hmm. Such a big difference.
Nice.
Yeah, and I could see why he would want Keen Sense to make sure you hit the third land drop. Which was different from the style that I was playing, where it could just go, like, all it needed was 2 lands to just crush the opponent. So, yeah, I'm excited to try it when Modern season comes, whenever that is.
Like, 1,000 years from now.
Yeah, it's summertime now, isn't it?
Yeah, they pushed it back, so we go right back to Standard after Limited.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited, because, like, the only Modern deck that I actually have left, because, like, I got rid of a bunch of stuff, like, during peak last year, because it was awesome to do so at the time. So I don't have, like, Goyfs and Bobs and shit is basically what I'm getting at. But I have all of Blue, White, Red, with the exception of the Cliques. And, like, Clique was the only card that I needed that I didn't have, and I just picked up 2 Cliques this week. So nice. Now I have, like, I can play either version of Red, White, Blue. I can play with Geist. I can play Thunder Geist. I can play Control. I can play Thunder Control. It's pretty sweet. I'm excited.
Thunder Control. Man, that sounds fucking badass.
I know, right?
What are you playing? Fucking Thunder Control.
Boom! So yeah, so I'm pretty stoked. Because I got, like, you know, helixes and shit like that. So, yeah. I'm excited. I am excited. Modern should be fun. Whenever it finally gets back. It's the summer, but I mean, there's, like, Modern F&Ms and stuff around if I ever want to go do that. Game day this weekend.
Yeah.
KYT, you're going to PTQ this weekend, or is it next week?
This weekend in Burlington.
So you're...
Is it Saturday?
Yep.
So you're going to miss the game day. You're going to play in a big game day.
Yep.
Well, good luck.
Thank you.
We hope you pick the right deck. Jeremy, you are or are not playing in game day?
I may have to work this weekend. If I don't have to work, like, the Saturday, then I will be playing games day. I will be probably playing the white-green deck that Ireland played.
Ireland?
Is that, like, the elf deck, or is that the light-green deck?
No, it's, like, the random elf Craterhoof Behemoth deck. Did you guys watch any World Cup at all?
No.
I did. I watched a bunch. Oh, wait, World Cup? No, I didn't.
Yeah, I couldn't care less because our team stank the bad. So
hey, they got the Spirit Award.
They got the Spirit Award. I thought that was just a joke. Is there an actual award given to them?
Yeah, they have 3 Spirit Awards that they give away at the World Cup.
To who? People who finished last but completed the tournament.
No. So what they did is, like, it's supposed to be for, like, people who, like, show national pride. So, like, when a team shows up and they're all decked out in crazy jerseys and got paint all over their face and got flags and stuff like that, they're like, Spirit Award. Well, the Spirit Award for Canada was like, you guys did a fundraiser because one of your guys had his house burned down, so.
Oh, yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. So, they got, like, $500 each, so that's awesome.
Wow.
Good, that might have covered part of the, you know.
Yeah.
Stay.
Yeah, joking aside, I'm sure they did the best that they can, and better luck next year, whoever the team is for that one. I was definitely cheering for John Stern and company to do well, and I sent John Stern a message before he left for a World Cup. He didn't answer. I asked him if he was ready. He just replied to me this week. He's like, I guess I wasn't.
Oh God.
But yeah, I couldn't follow it just because our country's team was just out of contention so early. So didn't really care enough.
If you get a chance to watch the finals, it's actually like really, really good.
Between France and
Hungary?
Okay.
I've seen the Instagram link.
So who are the really famous Hungarian players? Are there any?
It's the World Cup.
Right.
So none?
Kinda.
Yeah. So the thing that I don't like about this whole WMCQ thing is anybody can spike a tournament.
Right.
Well, that's
I hear you saying, because this is where you're going with this, right?
Well, I'm not trying to take away from anybody. I was just trying to I think it's kind of weird that like it just seems like there's like. The best players, according to, you know, whatever, popular, whatever, the best players in the world aren't Hungarian?
So why don't they change it just to say that the top three planes, well, I guess because then people grind planeswalker points, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have to go with pro points.
Right.
But then how do you get people in that aren't?
You bring like, back I guess, nationals.
Yeah, well, we'd like that too.
Yeah, like, I was talking to Hane about this, and he was like, go with top three planeswalker points and then do nationals again and give, like, the person who wins nationals the last spot. Like, flip it around so that it's, you know...
So do you do planeswalker points, though, or do you do pro points? Like,
you gotta do pro points.
So you do top three pro points.
Yeah.
And then you have to have conditions about them, like, the pro points, they have to, like, they still have to play that. Like, is it top pro points that year?
Use the same rule that they would use for, like, the Players Championship or the World Champion thing, where it's, like, your results from your top five GPs and, you know, any other pro points that you
see,
would
see. And I would be, like, 100% down with that and just make the WMCQs be, like, they feed up to, like, one tournament. So we've got all of these WMCQs that happen all across Canada, right? And the States and all that same thing. So how crazy would it be if we would just have all these WMCQs all across, whatever, 3, 4, whatever. I guess it's 4, right? 4 WMCQs we have. No, 3, right? 3 and then the...
There's 3. Yeah.
Okay. So what if we did those 3 and then we took, like, top, what, 16?
Yeah.
From each one of those events and have them in a tournament to play off for the 4th spot?
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
Right? And then you just take top 3 pro point getters and the winner of that tournament?
The tough part, though, is that, like, in Canada, if we're going to, you know, talk about Canada here, it's a big country. Like, you're going to – wherever you have that finals match, like, you're not going to get the players from all the other places, or at least, you know, if it's not in the West, you're going to lose a bunch of your West guys. Like, because I imagine, like, there's got to be some semblance of EV for a tournament like this, and I don't think anyone's going to be, you know, paying for it out of their pocket.
Yeah,
right, so, right.
Yeah. And it's, like, it's just kind of, like, kind of goofy in this sense, where it's, like, I'm sure Ireland did nuts. I'm sure those guys don't have this problem. Like, North Ireland and Ireland both have a national team. So that means there was, like, 6 WMCQs in Ireland.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other option is like, Quebec could finally get up off its ass and just leave. You know? Because you keep threatening it. You're still here. Anyways.
That'd be awesome for me.
But I'd just say, like, but then I'd never want to talk about it, because I feel like the team that Canada, in my air quotes, would field without Quebec would be fucking terrible.
Would that make, like, KYT Captain Quebec?
Literally, yeah.
But it'd be awesome. I'd have three local WMCQs to win, to try to win at least.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, definitely.
Would the Quebec national team be better than the Canadian team?
It's hard to say, Jeremy. Like, a lot of the Western players are not as well known. Like, I can't count them out because I don't know who they are. But definitely the ones who've had more success in the past few years has been like Alex Hain, John Stern, like people that are here, and Rich Hoen, who
Arsenal Much.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Sean McLaren.
Right, right. I mean, we, like, just, I think it's a coincidence. We just got the two guys that won GPs and PTs, basically.
Yeah.
So, I just wouldn't go out and just say that, because I know I have a lot of respect for people that are in Out West, like Marcel. Yeah. Not you. Hey, those guys like me. Just don't do this, Jeremy. Don't do
what
this.
What are you talking
me.
About?
For now.
Heard it here first.
That's right. But yeah, I don't know. I think it'd be interesting. But yeah, certainly not something that I'd like to find out.
Regardless of there being, you know, big names or not, like, yeah, that finals match for the World Cup was actually a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. Okay.
It was very fun to watch. So if you've got some time, like, I highly suggest it. It was a lot of fun to watch.
So one thing I did want to—I just remembered. Did you guys hear about the crazy ruling that everyone was up in arms about the desecration demon?
Yeah, I was.
No, so, tell me what it was.
So apparently, if you, Jeremy, you might know the details more than me. Like, a guy's attacking with desecration. No, he's not trying to attack. He's going to combat, I guess, and then he doomblades something, and because he didn't like. Call the desecration demon trigger, which is the trigger that allows your opponent to sacrifice a creature to tap it. It's considered that he skipped his entire attack phase or something.
It was kind of like what it was is like he passed priority. Like, he asked his opponent if he had anything like for attacks, and it's like once you kind of like do that point there, you know, he had done enough to like. Give his opponent the ability, like, to give his opponent, like, reasonable doubt to think that he was choosing not to attack. And that's what it came down to. It was just like a weird communication thing where it's like he passed priority when, if he's going to pass priority, he's acknowledging that he's not attacking at all. So,
I just heard that you absolutely need to call the desecration demon trigger. You'll actually have to say.
But he was kind of baiting it out. Like, that's what he did, is that he just did it wrong. Like, that's what he was asking. That's what his goal was, is he wanted to know if his opponent was going to sack something to Desecration Demon or not.
Okay, but he took it as him passing.
Yeah. So, essentially, what happened was he went attacks, his opponent said, no, go ahead. So, then he Doomblade. So, it's like, he had priority, he passed it, his opponent passed it back. The only time he can do something now is in response to block, or is in response to attackers.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, like, you know, you kind of see what's like. So it's like the appropriate thing would have been to say beginning of combat. You know, like at that point there, if he says that instead,
right, right.
Then all of a sudden, you know, like he's stopping the priority. He's holding the priority at a different point. Like, it was kind of like a weird ruling because it's just like you feel like, you know, there would be some sort of like communication error in there or that you could kind of like play.
It
sounded
like it was obvious what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Right.
But. If you like go by the letter of the rule, like that's how that plays out. So,
like, he intended to Doomblade before attacking, right?
It's like you set that one up on purpose. You're such a scumbag, KYT.
Oh, I am.
Anyways.
But yeah, that was interesting to see the Twitter go crazy. Like, how could the judge rule it that way? So it was interesting. Well, I thought it was different. I might have to go back and check because it sounded like while I was playing the green black deck today, Alex and Justin were like, yeah, you got to make sure that you point out the Desecration Demon trigger at all times, or else you know, I might get in some sort of weird situation where I won't be able to attack. So,
yeah.
Pro tip.
Pro tip from the Pro Podcast on the Pro website.
I hope that guy doesn't go out to kill me next time I see him, because that's my new intro quote, which I love, which is definitely one of my best memes, if I have one.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's up there for you.
Were you happy with yours, Scott? I'm happy with Jay's. Jay's was the one I was thinking about if I had time to go through all the episodes again. It was definitely about the legend rule.
You're over here. Yeah. What was mine again?
I'm only here for.
That's fine. Yeah. That's fine. That was a good story.
So, once again, I'm only here for the bias.
Yeah. Yeah. No cheating. There's no collusion.
Just here for the bias.
I'm just here for the bias. That's it. I want nothing other than the bias. Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. It was fine.
Kyle's got to find Jeremy one.
Yeah, well, Jeremy's got to say something funny.
Yeah, I know. It's like when I saw that email, I was just like, geez, I let Kyle down.
No pressure or anything.
Yeah, I know. Like, geez, if he doesn't like it, then I'm doomed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I figure it's this vault guy who actually, you know, just kind of picks them all.
God, he's
that
so
guy
good.
Just seems like, he seems just like awesome.
Yeah, he's really good.
I do want to congratulate us for successfully trolling a larger number of people than I thought we would.
Really?
A lot of people actually thought that Chris Lanza was the newest member, and I mean, I guess they were elated that he wasn't, but we definitely got a bunch of them.
There were a lot of people that just turned it off and missed the joke because they're chicken shits like that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so fucking wicked.
Yep.
And introducing the fourth member, Chris Lansdell, and everybody just immediately was just like, oops.
Yep.
Like, nope.
Yeah, some people actually said that, Jay. That's
what a bunch of fucking wankers. Like, like 140 episodes in and they just fell for it hard. Just hard. That's so sweet.
Like, Norbert actually, like, really? Lansdell? And I think when someone said that you got trolled, he, like, deleted his tweet because I didn't find it. So, well, a lot of people didn't want it to be Chris, but to be fair, he did an insane job.
He did a really wicked job on it, for sure.
A lot of people said that it might change their mind about listening to him on other shows. So, yeah, it was, I guess, hopefully it's a plus for him, because he definitely did us a big favor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It was an awesome, awesome, I laughed my ass off listening to it afterwards. I laughed my ass off.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. It was really good.
Oh, man. I've listened to it at least 30 times. it's too good. The intro too, like where he finds like one of the best Lansdell quotes possible.
Yeah.
Like the difference between me and Pro.
It was so fucking good. It was so good. The difference between me and Pros is we build the same decks, but they keep their mouths shut about them. Fucking wicked. I was howling. I was fucking howling.
It was. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you so much.
Yes, Kyle, you rocked that one.
The comments are pretty good, too.
We have a ton of them this week.
Another 50.
I know. So awesome. Except for the one guy.
Now, I think that guy did, like, a service.
I haven't read them all yet, so.
Like, popped your cherry service? Is that what you're getting at?
No, I think it was just, like, you know, he sparked a debate. You know, the guy obviously has something going, so he needed to get it out, and that's good, and a lot of people came and said their bit. You know, it was a good conversation.
That's the thing about Jeremy, he never shies away from a good conversation.
Good conversation.
So the one thing that is interesting is Stefan
Urkel? Ended up,
I don't know, the second place guy from Calgary. Whatever the hell his name is.
Oh, I don't know.
He wrote his tournament report. It went up on Channel Fireball, which I read.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, and the tournament report was okay. It was a little little over punny for me.
It got shat on because it was over punny.
It was over punny.
I don't know if you guys were at GB Calgary, but it was pretty brutal, the finals. Listening to all that.
Yeah.
Pretty brutal.
Yeah. So, you know, it was a little much for me personally, but, you know.
If you're able to be it, I guess it's okay to be like for every second word out of your mouth to be a pun. But if you're not, I guess it's not. Is the lesson here?
Yeah.
Like I'm reading a comment. Someone's like, "I could not finish reading this article. Worst piece I've ever read. Congrats."
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Still hasn't got a haircut though.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
But that's okay. The check's coming soon. I'm just poking fun because it's enjoyable to do so, and it's completely harmless. He comes to find me at the place where I live, and we're gonna have a problem. But
maybe you guys can play Star Wars.
Hey, I don't know. I don't know if I could listen to that for that long. Again, for those of you that were at Calgary. So yeah, there's that. But there was another one too. Yeah. So this was good, Spencer, Booze Cube Champio, Spencer. I knew it wasn't him. Ha ha ha. Jeremy was awesome. Very nice voice. Very smooth. Ha ha. Scotty, it is nice you didn't get verbally assaulted this episode. I expect this will be the new norm without John. KYT was above average on words per episode by at least 17 words. Go, KYT. Jay, you rock, bro. Never change, man. Never change.
Awesome never change.
So, yeah, it was good. That made me happy.
No, it was a lot of
I like the guy who was like, Jay's got to keep this new guy in line. And I was like, this guy's awesome. I love this guy. He's got so much energy. Like, he was just like, he was pumped.
That's what you got to have. You got to have energy.
Yeah, man. He was just rocking it, man. He's a big fan of yours.
Well, you know.
Like, we've got a lot.
Okay, so something's going on with the school teacher? Are we doing something about that?
Oh, yeah. I guess I probably should have mentioned
Let's talk about that. Yeah, and then after we talk about that, we can talk about when I'm going to see KYT now.
Okay, so Jay sends me this email. No, go ahead, Jay.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I wasn't actually going to say anything.
Oh. Par for the course.
Yeah. Oh, I just set myself up there.
So, okay, so as we mentioned last episode, we have sweet, sweet teacher David Selinsky, who is going to
What school again?
I don't fucking remember.
Okay. Sorry, you just pronounced.
Why are you gonna sidetrack him like that?
I'm sorry, he just says it funny.
You idiot. It is Hugh Sutherland in Carstairs, Alberta.
Thank you.
So anyway, you jackanape. we're going to be sending them a care package. Face2FaceGames.com has agreed to send a box of M14 so that the kids can draft. I can probably find some packages around somewhere. Maybe get them to do a different set as well. Somebody has like a box of a bunch of just bulk standard stuff, which is always good. KYT said he's going to donate some intro packs, some starter decks. Was there other stuff?
No,
I don't know. I think Jeff Woods said he was going to donate something.
Wasn't he giving, like, wasn't one of them saying they would give, like, a shit ton of commons that are uncommons of a certain set?
Yeah, well, somebody said, yeah, I think so, yeah. And somebody, oh, yeah, Jason Clef is going to give just, like, a bunch of RTR commons and uncommons he has, which is good. That stuff's at least going to stick around in rotation and stuff. And, you know, those cards are being played, so...
Nice.
Yeah, so I think that's really cool, and I would implore everybody if they can to just, if you can help these kids out, that'd be sweet. I think that's a really good cause, and I think we should support really good causes, so. And if you have any questions about that, you can always contact me. We're gonna, like, the school year's over, like, currently, right? Like, it's in the middle of the school year or something. So, that being said, I'm not sure, like, when he's going to want to do this, mainly just, like I said, because the kids aren't in school. So I'm trying to work that out with him. So, you know, you can always send it to me first, and then we're going to just drive up there and basically present it to them and give them a bunch of face-to-face stuff. And
have a day, maybe have an afternoon, some Friday afternoon gaming. And fucking signandbloodlife.com is gonna donate a bunch of life pads for all the kids to use.
Oh, that's nice.
How fucking cool is that? Not even Jeremy fucking Schofield got that shit. That's what you get for second place, you butthole.
That hurts.
Ouch.
Not that as much hurts. As losing your 18th in a row. Oh.
What?
Because you had 17 in a row and then you lost your 18th.
Yeah. Why do we gotta go there?
Well, because you haven't been around very much and you haven't said anything worthwhile, so we gotta go back to what we know. You know what I'm saying?
I got something worthwhile.
Say it.
I got a box like that has like 12 Return to Ravnica block draft sets in it, so I'll send that along to the school.
Sweet.
Holy shit!
That sounds tight. Get some old
Return to Ravnica
draft.
Oh, what now?
What now? What now?
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
I can play. I can
Sweet.
Play.
Let's do it. I was thinking about donating some Star Wars, but I don't want to take these kids away from their magic
club.
Yeah,
seriously.
And then make David have to be part of the Star Wars club, too. That sounds a lot worse. Somehow.
No, it really does.
So, you know. You know.
So, I am going to see KYT soon.
Wicked.
Which makes me really happy. I'm all geeking out over it a little.
Oh yeah.
I'm pretty excited about this. I'm really excited, rather.
So we're doing the MDSS, the Mana Deprived Super Series.
Oh yeah, we got to pimp that.
It's back for some more action. It's in. It was just in Ottawa.
Nope.
And what?
We moved that. We moved that to September. So we.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So there hasn't been one in a while. So this is the big bang here.
Okay. So what we're doing is we're going to have this event. It's actually at the Primrose Hotel, Best Western, downtown. And basically what we're looking at here is a 5K event.
Yep.
There's huge prizes, legacy side events, drafts all day. Like, there's all sorts of crazy shit going on out there. And I will be there doing coverage.
Cool.
So I'll be doing like some deck techs and interviews and
video coverage.
Did we mention that it's open to the public?
It's open to the public.
Because some people think that these Mana Deprived Super Series, you know, they're sponsored by Mana Deprived, which is a pro website run by Pro KYT, who is a pro. And they have been mentioning to Peter that they didn't realize that this was open to the public. So just so you know, your money is still good here. You come pay and play. And
you should get Peter to come back on and talk about it.
Well, he's kind of busy.
Okay.
He said, but I will text him and see.
Oh, man. Oh. I mean,
but
this
yes,
is
just so you
so
know.
So exciting.
Open to the public.
Our very first 5K with the Mana Deprived name on it. So thanks a lot to Sal and Face to Face Games for sponsoring this. And they got four vendors.
Wow!
To be there as well, including themselves. So and Kelly is going to be the head judge. So
Kelly nice. From Harry T.
Yeah,
yeah.
Ah.
The biggest PTQ in North America. So in recent memory, I think, or ever. So definitely think this will be a really big success.
It's awesome. Yeah, I'm super excited. I get to see all sorts of people. I don't know if you knew this, but did you know the Spruik's going to be there? Spruik's coming. I think Kyle's coming. And
that I'm really excited about. I haven't seen that guy in a long time, and I want to see him like with another AT member in the room as well. I mean, the first time we had that was we had that twice. GP Toronto, the first time we ever met, and then we had that the TCG player event. He was there.
Yeah.
And so it's long overdue for us.
Agree.
To
yeah, I agree. So I'm pretty excited. It's going to be really, really awesome. And I've been practicing on doing coverage and stuff. Like while I've been playing 8-mans, I've got like a Facebook group and I've just been like, okay, so here's what he does. And then here's what I do. And it's just like trying to help, you know, get that flow of play together. It's because it's all written coverage. So I'm basically going to, like, take a bunch of notes shorthand, I guess, and then post the coverage afterward?
You'll do a great job, Scott.
I'm sure I'll do fine. I just don't know what the job actually is yet. But I'm hired to do it!
You'll do fabulous.
Yeah. But it's going to be awesome. So the tournament itself is going to be sick. How this one goes will definitely dictate how many more of these happen in more remote areas. So show your support. Come on out. Come say hi to KYT and I. Like, come fucking beat his ass at Standard. And the Legacy challenges are going to be pretty sick, too. And we've got the entire floor booked out of the Primrose. So there's tons of space. The venue's going to be really, really comfortable. So you guys should make sure that you come on out and check it out.
Yeah, it was crazy for Spruik to message me and ask me if I was going. There's Alex Bianchi, one of my writers.
Nice, Gemini.
Who lives in the U.S. told me he was asking me if I was going to be there. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm excited that you're even asking me that, because that's assuming, basically saying that you're going. And so we got people that are in the U.S. that are coming up for this. So hopefully this is going to go as well as I think it will. And it's going to be a hit tournament.
That's unreal
Star
hotness.
City, look, we're coming.
We're now, coming. I don't even know. Is this a 1 or a 2 day event?
I believe it's only a 1 day event.
Yeah. All right. Well, then there you go. So you'll see us for 1 day. So if you miss it, you miss it. But you shouldn't miss it. So don't miss it. In other news, what, Medina's cousin killed his wife and put it on Facebook? Is this the bullshit nonsense that I'm reading in our chat today?
I mean, someone tweeted at us and said that they read Medina wife and freaked out and thought it would have to do with John. So it's someone who apparently, yeah, this is very disturbing, actually. He kills his wife and posts on Facebook that he did so, and that he's probably going to prison or death sentence. But that, yeah, so.
John Medina?
No.
What Derek, the fuck?
Like some A-Team fan just tweeted that at us. Jesus. On Twitter. But yeah, and, like, he thought it might have been John, so he freaked out.
Crazy,
but it wasn't. But this is pretty crazy. He basically, like, killed his wife, took a picture, and updated all his friends on Facebook that he killed his wife.
That's pretty crazy.
That's disturbing, to say the least.
Yeah, for sure.
Ugh. Wow.
Okay. Well, that was a good buzz.
So that was a nice downer, right? Yeah.
Is that your quote now? No. Not good enough. Not good enough yet.
No.
And with that, anything else? I think
that's it, right? We talked about all the stuff that we need to talk about.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about the awesome draw.
Oh, yeah. The fact that we have, like, well, by the time this goes up.
Oh, it'll be already over, won't it?
We'll have basically, like, done the draw.
Oh, okay. Well, you missed out if you didn't buy any.
Yeah. Sucks. There's like so many ridiculous prizes that are all going in at the last minute too. Like, this thing's fucking bonkers.
Get ready for your check of $2, Jay.
Yep.
$2.
At least two.
At least two. It won't be lower than that.
A bold prediction.
A bold prediction.
So yeah, it's pretty sweet. So this is actually going to be like a really big month for me, because like, so I saw Jay in Calgary. Cool. I saw Jeremy in Calgary.
Yeah.
I get to see KYT next weekend, and then 2 weeks later I get to see both Jay and KYT again.
Plano. Yeah. I'm excited to see KYT.
Yeah.
That hasn't happened in like 3 years. It's been like 3 years.
Or you beat my ass with Boros.
Yeah. I'm excited to just get you plastered at my wedding. Oh, roll fuck. You down a hill.
Just make sure you bring your fucking like 50 full of toonies.
Yeah.
So, for those of you that don't know, the toonie is a $2 coin, and it comes in rolls that are valued at $50 here. Just so you know.
Just FYI, that's a little bit of Canadian Factorama for you.
Yeah. Are you coming with are you bringing the lady?
I'm not bringing the lady.
You the come to Stag?
It's still in France, yeah.
In France?
France.
That's too bad.
Like the good old Sal impression.
Yeah, Alana would have really liked to meet her. That's too bad.
KYT's wedding next year, I'm sure, right? Like, we'll just...
It's on the horizon.
Yeah, you don't understand. We don't get invited. He has to have two weddings. Yeah. Like, see, here's the thing. You know what us white folk are good for? He's going to be like, guys, I'm having my bachelor party. You got to help me. I got to plan it. It's going to be amazing. And he's, like, going to make us take him to the seediest places, fucking underbellies of wherever, with these, like, crazy non-Asian strippers, because, like, he's into that. Because he's going to be looking at, you know, at his wife for the rest of his life. So he's got to, like, go sample the international menu. And then the wedding will come along, and we'll be like, sweet, man, are we going to, like, come and join? Like, can we sit and take... No, you're not coming.
Yeah.
That's the best.
No whites allowed.
I'll send you the pictures.
I'll send you the
isn't
pictures.
Isn't your dad's name like King something? Like, isn't
King,
he just like
King Ho, man?
King Ho!
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? If King Ho said I couldn't go to the wedding, I'd be like, okay, King Ho.
Seriously. Seriously. But no, it's so funny. That's a running gag. It's just like, you don't understand. There's no white people at KYT's wedding.
It'd be so funny. I'm just sending you guys the invite, and it says bachelor party only.
It'll already be filled out with 0 of 2 attention.
Yeah, if you change this, I'll get disowned. You'll bring shame and dishonor to my family.
But I love the first time we talked about this, and then I think, I forget who one of us said, this is getting borderline racist.
It was me. It was definitely me. Like, I don't know if I should feel uncomfortable about this, because I'm sure that if the shoe were on the other foot, it would be not healthy.
Yeah, I'm not getting married in the next year, but 2 years. 2 years. We're going to see. Hopefully, it's going to happen. So
it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's so awesome that she's actually your first girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could be like Lewis.
Who's Lewis?
Lewis Acosta. Or an alchemist on Twitter who married his first girlfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but he married when he was like 18 or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, how old are you? He's like, I'm 20 or something. I'm like, what?
I'm 20.
And he's got like the facial hair going on. And he looks like, you know, he's. You know, been married for a while now. No, I'm 20. But I'm looking forward to the day where I join the three of you in the married ranks, and then
just run away.
And then in joining Jeremy and Scott in the kids department, maybe.
Kids are pretty cool. I read my kids' magic cards. I read
my kids. The kids also.
Kid.
Yeah, exciting stuff to look forward to. So, and with that, I think we can finish the show
with one last comment from Daniel, who is EX Zergling on Twitter. I bought Jay Bush a beer at the Man at a Pride party, and he tried to introduce me to Doug Potter. I was like, yeah, I know who Doug is. And Jay and Doug just broke their asses laughing. Now I know why. Congrats on joining the podcast, Jeremy. Great GP. Great party. The karaoke was off the hook. And as always, great podcast. I live in Edmonton now. Ugh. But I still got my homeboys back because you bashed his hair. I'm liking Stefan's tournament report right here in the comments. Linking. Blammo. Just ultra trolled.
Daniel's pretty cool.
Oh, man. Captain Something Wong commented.
Oh, God. Did he ever? That's the guy that left.
Oh, is that
marathon.
The guy that hated us or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
right.
A good one.
What? First, no one gives a fuck about this Star Wars game. Fuck you! Yeah, fuck you. You don't know fucking anything. Fuck you.
This would be a really good segment where we just, like, read the comments from last week.
Yeah, we used to do that. It's pretty fun. New guy. You'll have to come up with some new ideas. Make the old paper fresh, okay? That's your job. Okay. I came up with shit stories. I came up with shout-outs. I came up with reading comments funny. Story time. We used to do interviews. You gotta come up with something fresh or else you're out of here.
I can't even do the laughing. That's KYT's.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I got nothing, man.
You're out of here. You're fucking out of here.
We can talk magic.
Oh, that was good. All right, everyone. I'll try to get Peter Sackless back. I'll let him know you guys really enjoyed him on the podcast.
God. Sorry, Peter. I love you guys.
Bye.
See y'all next week.
Peace.
The random elf crater hoof behemoth deck, like the make no decisions game of Magic deck.
That is some angry typing.
That is some angry typing. Right.
Jeez. Wait,
he? Yeah, he's
I forgot.
He types louder than he talks?
So angry!
No, I forget to mute sometimes, very rarely. So.